one.
So the next one is on high inflation. This was some work that was originally brought to us by Glass. And in the same sort of category as the foreign exchange one, the board had an initial look at this and decided tentatively to remove it from the research programme, but to seek input through the agenda consultation before reaching a conclusion on that. And this paper summarises the feedback we had from the agenda consultation. And you'd probably be not surprised to learn that the countries that are most affected by it thought we should do something, and most other people, I would say, thought we probably shouldn't. We also had a discussion at ASAF at the last meeting in April, and there's a summary of the feedback we had there, starting at paragraph 12. And I would say broadly the discussion we had at ASAF was sort of along similar lines to the input from the agenda consultation. I think one area where there was quite a lot of discussion was if we did extend the scope of IAS 29 from hyperinflation to high inflation, how many more countries would be involved? Would you have countries that might be dipping in and out of high inflation and so subject to changes? Would it put more stress on IAS 29 if you've got a wider pool of people applying it? How would users feel about it? We were told by Glass at the ASAF meeting that the users in that region are reasonably comfortable with high inflation type accounting, but then of course they've been used to it for many years, so they're used to it. How would users feel about that in other parts of the world if they're not used to it? One thing we did as a relatively quick follow-up to the ASAF meeting was to have a look at some statistics, and we did this fairly quickly really, but we wanted to give you some information at least. And what this chart is designed to show is which countries would pass the 100% indicator that's currently in IAS 29, what would happen if we dropped the indicator that Glass suggested, which is a 26 cumulative over 3 years, and would that make a big difference? For those of you who've got the chart printed in colour, the yellow splodges are countries that are hyperinflationary. The paper says orange. I'm not sure I see it exactly orange, but orange are the ones that are between 26 and 100. So it gives you some sense of what would happen. And I think if we did broaden the net to go from hyperinflation to high inflation, it would clearly bring in quite a lot more countries. The time series we looked at here went back to the 1980s. If we'd gone back to the 1970s, we'd have probably brought in a lot more countries, because obviously it was a much higher inflation environment at that stage. But the data we looked at didn't go that back that far. I think as well, during the ASAF discussion, there was quite a lot of discussion about what we would do if we did anything. And my sense of what was discussed around the table, both from the Glass representatives and the others, was that if we did do anything, we shouldn't really try and tinker with IAS 29. That if we did anything, we should look at that indicator and look at that question of whether we should loosen it up from hyperinflation to high inflation, but not try and look at all at the methodology in IAS 29, because that would be a much bigger project.
Yes, and we would indeed look, if we did that and change the threshold, would the use of the standard then be such that the possible lack of quality of the standard becomes a big problem?
And I think that was the point that was made, that it would come under more stress because more people would be using it, be used in a wider range of circumstances. So undoubtedly that there'd be more people looking at it, it would probably generate more questions.
Thank you very much, Peter. Just a few comments on in addition to that. I think the paper is excellent in providing the summary of the discussions, at least the ones that I've been involved. I think the problem starts with the name of the standard itself, hyperinflation. And I went through the statistics and I went through the efforts in the 70s in the UK to develop an inflation accounting statement and accounting statement. And why was that? Because at that time, inflation was higher than on average than what we have today, and that's why the standard is hyperinflation standard. Effective date of IAS 29 was 1st of January 1990. A completely different world than what we have today. And to me, and even discussing with countries in Latin America that reacted very strongly in favor of having something done in here, I always struggle with what's in the very clear in the scope, in paragraph 3 of the scope, and I will just read just for the sake of clarity. This standard does not establish an absolute rate at which hyperinflation is deemed to arise. It's so clear to me. And then it ends up, hyperinflation is indicated by characteristics of the economic environment of a country, which include, but are not limited to, the following. And there are five indicators, being the 100%, the very last one. So to me, it was very, very difficult just to believe that because of this indicator, no one would do. But the reaction I had, in particular in countries like Latin America, is that regulators and auditors and others in general take this as the basic indicator. So that said, and that's why Glass is arguing fiercely, I would say, since our rejection in April 2015, for us to get to do something here. And their suggestion is to lower this threshold as a means to advance in inflation adjustment in the region. So yeah, I think if possible, we are not deciding about priorities or projects, but I think we should consider the possibility of working exclusively in this threshold. Would be easier to have countries that are really affected by high inflation, and their proposal, I'm not saying that it's the correct one or the ideal, 26% in a 3 years period, but if their proposal is the one we accept as reasonable. And going through the statistics, I identified actually six countries only that consider the last 3 years would be applying 26%. Argentina, Belarus, Ghana, Mongolia, Ukraine, and Uruguay, according to this year. Venezuela is not here, but Venezuela is well above these. So in response to Hans' concern during the ASAF, if the threshold is reduced to something significantly lower than 100%, but in a level that recognizes that it's really not providing the information needed by investors as associated with value creation or the concept of clean surplus or the capital maintenance, I think if possible, we should sincerely try to reduce this threshold. Myself, I really agreed with not exploring the concept of capital maintenance in the conceptual framework exactly because we have IAS 29 and because of the of timing. But to be more responsive to the capital maintenance concept, I think it would be worth thinking about reducing this threshold. But anyway,
it's far-fetched to have a standard that is called hyperinflation, and then talk about 26% in 3 years. That's absolutely not hyperinflation.
Yeah, that's why I started saying that. To me, the mistake, of course, with hindsight, right? The mistake is exactly because when this was approved, that was in Brazil, and the inflation was 2,000% a year. We would say 100%. This guy knows nothing about inflation. This is our monthly inflation.
So we're laughing at the time that hyperinflation 200%. Come on, we have this in 1 month.
Yeah, but of course, the word is even 100% of 3 years is not truly hyperinflation.
Yeah.
Change the title. It doesn't need to be hyperinflation.
And again, this is only one indicator. That's it's really difficult to understand that.
Yeah, I wanted to say about the same thing in support of Amaro. I mean, this standard was developed at a time when normal inflation was in the range of 10-15%. Everyone was happy with that. And hyperinflation is always in relation to normal inflation. Today, normal inflation is 1-2%, and people are quite happy if we have 2% inflation in this country. In Europe, we're trying to push economy to have at least 1% inflation, 2%. So hyperinflation is always in relation to. We live in a world where zero rates, zero inflation, deflation, Japan, 1% here, there, and maybe 10%, 15%, 20% is very high inflation, and maybe 30% is hyperinflation. So I think there is a case to say, given a new world in which we live, we could help those countries with having a new look at what is the meaning of hyperinflation. It's always in relation to normal, or usual, current inflation.
Mary?
Oh, just a one. Now, then, your Brazilian companies are providing some kind of adjusted profit.
No, Brazil is not above
yet.
The threshold.
Not yet.
No, because and hopefully
doing its best.
Hopefully due to the reduction in economic activity, inflation will be even lower next year. So
that's right.
You know there is other counter effort. So no, Brazil is not near the threshold. As far as I know, in Latin America, surely it's Venezuela, Argentina, Uruguay.
Argentina should be out soon.
Yeah.
So.
Mary?
I don't know, you would have called on me if you knew what I was going to say, but it's, for me, I'm a convert to, I think we should look at this after the ASAF discussion. I think the ASAF discussion made the point, the Glass presentation made the point quite compelling to me, that it's not hyperinflation that erodes the usefulness of financial statements, but it's high inflation. And I agree that we have a standard that's called hyperinflation, but I think they made the point that there's a land in between, and they're seeing significant loss of information value there. They had a pragmatic and limited response to that, which was, don't think of it as a when is it hyper, think of it as when is it high enough to reduce the meaningfulness and therefore reduce the threshold. So you apply the same methodology. Unlike Amaro, I understand why the indicators are applied as they are, because I think an early lesson is that consistency regarding whether or not an economy is considered to cross whatever your threshold is really, really important. And so I don't think we should even begin to think about, let's encourage people to look differently and weight the factors differently, because I think we should be trying to herd kind of consistent practice with whatever we set as the target. I think when I look at this project and what we're trying to do, I don't think this is the time to add a big project on capital maintenance and reconsider what the right answer is. I think we should look at whether or not we think saying redefine the objective as high rather than hyper is what we should be assessing. I think the first thing is IS 29 robust enough to provide the information for higher, and can it stand up to a lot more entities applying it without more work? If it cannot, then that is not a quick answer, and we should jump ship.
We could also reason that suppose that we get back in a situation where a lot of countries in the world are going to that level of inflation, mm-hmm. then I think that would necessitate us working on a capital maintenance, new coupled capital maintenance model, because then
but
the whole meaning of accounting would get eroded.
But unlike the staff recommendation, I look at this and say, I think we should assess the viability of redefining the objective as high rather than hyper,
right.
and doing some assessments about whether that would work. As I said, I think whether it's robust enough. The other thing that occurs to me, maybe it's prompted by that, by the previous issue of the foreign currency with hyperinflation, is whether this issue about the erosion and high inflation is when it's the functional currency of the reporting entity, and whether it's any different if you've got a sub, you know, from the consolidated group. If this is an issue when it's the reporting functional currency of the reporting entity that makes it particularly challenging. And all I would say is that may be a really dumb question, but if somebody, if we were going to do research, think about that.
Okay.
But we're going to come back to all of this on the agenda consultation wrap-up. Yeah,
sure.
All right. Thank you very much. That was it for today.